Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. I had to think there for a second, but then Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, here with us in the studio. That means it is Tuesday. Hope everybody doing well. Another beautiful day. Whew, I was just telling Andy, though, thank goodness that I have a pool. I was getting some cleanup work done.
Not all of us have a pool, Bill.
Well, no. Well, that was something, I mean, we just we splurged for a few years ago when we moved to our current house, and I'd never had a pool.
I'm not bitter about it or anything.
No, I mean a lot of people feel like it's too much work. It's really not when you have the little, you know, the robotic pool cleaner
and you
keep up with it and things like
sure.
that.
Sure. Did you install the pool as the house was being built?
No. The house had been built. We moved in and we had a wooded backyard. And
I didn't know the answer to that. I've known you a long time.
I didn't know
the answer to the origin story of the pool.
We wanted to clear some space and have a backyard. And I thought, golly, wouldn't it be cool to have a pool out there? And we decided to put it. You've seen the pool. I mean, it's not a lot of places you feel like you step out the back door and you fall in the pool, or the pool is running parallel to the house. We wanted ours a little set back and like perpendicular to the house. So we had it put in and got it put in during the fall, which turned out, I mean, that's the least expensive time to get it put in, and got a really good deal from Aaron and his folks.
Do you have a liner, or is it?
It's a liner. Okay. Yeah, it's concrete with a liner.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it really hasn't been that much trouble. But I'll tell you what, I was telling Andy this. It is so helpful when you're doing some yard work. It's great if you're doing something, you get hot and you just go over and just can, you know, just
sure.
jump, fall into the pool. And we've got a lot of trees, so it's cool. I mean, it is still like 72 is the pool temp right now. And for my wife, that's a little chilly. But, you know, when you're working and it's really hot, it feels great. But anyway, so I was about done, I thought, and was about ready to leave when younger son pulled up to the house and said, okay, we can go ahead and get the gutters cleaned now. Because I am not climbing. I'm too old now. I'm not climbing up ladders to clean gutters. And, Dan, there weren't any snakes in the gutter this time. Remember Chuck talking about that. But, no, Matt does the climbing, but I have to, like, hold the trash can up while he's reaching in and grabbing the leaves and stuff like that. So, I mean, we got done about 3:25, too late to take a shower, so it was into the pool and out, and I'm refreshed, and here we are, and then let's go ahead with the Tuesday show. So it's Bill, Dan's.
Go a little heavy on the chlorine next time if you're going to use the pool.
I did.
In lieu of a shower.
I have. No. I mean, I had actually super shocked because there are a couple of little stains on the bottom of the pool, so you know, you guys can stay a little further. No, I think it works pretty well.
Good for you.
But no, I'll take a shower. I'll take a shower sometime today. But I thought it would do. But yeah, Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, in with Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Andy, I guess
this is not where Andy wants to be.
No,
right
now.
No. I mean, he. I think Andy likes us just fine. It'd be much better if he were up in Hoover getting ready for the SEC tournament and postseason.
Absolutely, I look forward to that time of the year. But not to be this year for Auburn. Nice to see Auburn win its last two series and beat Alabama in the last series of the season. Take a little bit of momentum into the postseason. And my guess is that they are hitting the ground hard recruiting right now and trying to figure out what the roster is going to be for Auburn baseball, because you'll lose some guys. I mean, you're going to lose some just to graduation.
Sure.
We are in it.
There were what, nine guys?
Nine
on senior night.
Yeah, nine on senior night, and I think seven that were part of the graduation ceremony on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And so you lose some of those guys, not all. I mean, Cooper McMurray can be back. Hopefully he is back for Auburn. And there are some guys that you certainly want back, and then there will be some guys that decide to move on, look for playing time elsewhere. So you're trying to figure out that roster. And then, oh, by the way, there's a Major League Baseball draft in the middle of the summer that you try to figure out right now as well.
There's that, and then there's also the transfer portal where schools will be coming after.
Oh, come on, Bill. They don't do that.
Oh, of course not. No, I mean, even when Nick Saban even let it out on national TV, I mean, it's something.
Ask Bruce Pearl if teams come after his guys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the way it is now. And there's nothing the NCAA can do about it as long as it's not blatantly the school.
Any mid-major coach would probably have a story to tell.
I agree.
About losing
players. I don't think there's anything the NCAA will do about it either, Bill.
No. No, you're right. It'll be interesting to see if there is indeed a settlement reached between, before the lawsuits take place.
Because you guys would probably have better knowledge on the subject of NIL and sort of that influencing roster construction. There's talk of more school oversight, right, on NIL collectives or folding collectives in-house.
And I think that's where it's headed.
Right.
At some point. There's been talk of that for years now, since NIL became legal.
And that every single solution, creates new complications, but it feels like on that front, like, enforcement would be, at least there'd be somebody expected to enforce it if it were full, taken in-house and run either by schools or with oversight. Like, I would imagine that would be preferable to...
There could at least be some rules.
Right, as opposed to the Wild West sort of environment you have at the moment.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. But you're right. I mean, roster management is critical in every sport now, and it's going to be really interesting to see, what this baseball roster looks like by this coming fall.
The next, I think, bit of news, and Auburn Women's Golf, by the way, fell to Stanford today in the first round of match play at the NCAA Championships. The Auburn Men Open play Friday.
I wasn't sure when it started.
Thursday or Friday they open play on the same golf course with the four rounds of stroke play and then on to match play. Auburn Track and Field is getting ready for the NCAA preliminaries in Lexington, Kentucky, and then they move on to the NCAA Championships in Eugene, Oregon, and then that's it for the athletic year. But the next news coming out of Auburn will be, and I'm not sure when or who, is the next softball coach at Auburn with Mickey Dean finishing his career with the Tigers down in Tallahassee this past weekend. So I think that's the next bit of news that will be coming out. Now, it may depend on when some of these coaches that are being considered
when
their seasons are done as well. So
we're getting to the end. I was asking Andy, what's the plan now with no postseason baseball. You've got a little time now.
Yeah, and I'm not happy about it.
No, I'm no.
To be honest, I really look forward to Hoover and beyond. But we're going to get home to Illinois this weekend, see my mom and some friends and family for the Memorial Day weekend. Typically, this is a working weekend, so and Monday typically is selection day for the NCAA tournament. But that's not the case this year, so we'll get home, and then later in this summer, Jan and I are taking off for Europe for a little while for our 20th anniversary.
Well, that's great. That is
and
great.
We'll head to Huntsville to see Jan's family a couple times as well this summer, and then we've got family moving to town. My brother, with all of his kids, he has one daughter and her family that are already here and have been for just under a year. He's got two more daughters, one who has a family that's moving here this summer, another one that's moving here in the next couple weeks, just graduated from college, and then my brother and his wife are moving here as well. So, Clampets are coming to town.
They're all coming. That's right. They all want to come be with Andy.
I imagine they've all visited Auburn before, too, and they're struck by...
Many times.
They're struck by how charming the town can be.
They have all loved coming to Auburn. One of their daughters One of the daughters that is moving this summer went to Auburn, has her degree from Auburn. Her husband played football for Auburn. So, yes. And I've been here forever. So they've been coming here for many, many years to come for football games and basketball and baseball and just to visit family. So they're about to make it their home as well.
Won't you be involved in some of the athletic events of the summer?
Whether it be the On to Victory Tour or the Ambush Tour. A couple of the Ambush Tours, Brad Wall will handle those while we're gone on vacation.
Sure.
Yeah, so there are some events coming up. But for the most part, I'm just working in the office today. I was starting to edit the SEC tournament championship game to be used in rain delays. Going in, taking commercials out and that type of thing. So that's what summer's like. I'll start to work on the Alabama A&M board as soon as I possibly can when we've got a semblance of a roster for Auburn and if we get something – soon enough for Alabama A&M.
Yeah, I would be curious to know sort of, you know, aside from, you know, because I think people would understand that your duties with Auburn include what you're doing on game day and a lot of the stuff, the front-facing stuff that goes out to the public.
Right.
But there are other responsibilities and tasks that people may not know as like what are you up to this summer in the office that may surprise people to know, like, oh yeah, Andy Burcham's also doing that for Auburn?
I mean, we have events just through the Auburn Sports Network with some of our partners, Golden Flake and Coca-Cola and some other Old Dominion are some of those. And they
will host. The trucking company, not the school in the Sun Belt.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. And we will have events with Bruce and Hugh through the summer that we bring partners in for. And we're just planning at this point, you know, getting ready for that first Tiger Talk in mid-August. And anything that needs to be done with regard to the opening of, you know, the first football game in late August, are there any changes? I don't anticipate any changes on the crew this summer. It's a slower period for me.
So are you done with the Talking Tigers podcasts?
No, that will continue.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. That will continue year-round.
Okay, good.
So we are also doing those, and the one with Mark Chapman, kind of from your time at Auburn, outstanding pitcher at the end of Paul Nix's career and the start of Hal Baird's career at Auburn. And that's on, we will, in the next couple of weeks, it's a two-parter with Mark. Then you will hear from Dom Studzinski, who's Auburn's strength and conditioning coach. Mm-hmm. And then Will Redmond, who is the general manager of player personnel.
And a very, very important person.
And we talk NIL and portal and how they go about their work as much as we possibly can on that as well. So, yes, the Talking Tigers podcast will continue through the summer. It continues. It's year-round.
I was blown away by Justin Stuckey, who's just a really – just a super impressive young man.
He is. You know, a high jumper that came from Samford, from Helena, Alabama, and has had some injury, had a knee that he had to take care of. So he has been given and he has taken advantage of opportunities in our world and has really – he was doing it before he came here with some of his video blog, I guess his vlogs is what you'd call them, and then – he has the Saturdays was stuck as he's gone to different tailgates, and he's really an engaging young man. Got to work and make connections with football game day, basketball game day, and then was selected by TNT or TBS to go to the Final Four and was doing some reports at the Final Four this year out in Phoenix. So He will be in our world shortly.
Yeah, no kidding.
And
a name to remember.
Probably, absolutely. Pretty prominent.
Exactly. So, but he was fun to talk to. Just a really engaging young man. I enjoy through these podcasts being able to tell stories. Have these folks tell their stories, and I get to learn. I mean, I learned some history about Auburn. Some of the stories I know. And I want these folks to tell those stories. Some of them I'm learning as the interview is going on. And we'll continue that through the summer months as well.
Andy Burcham with us here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. We'd love for you to join in. You can do so by calling The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Back, open up the phone lines here on the Tuesday Drive.
Inspired by
Live with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon, 20 minutes after 4 o'clock. Bill, Dan, Andy Burcham with Drew at the controls here in the studio, and let's get to The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and John gets us started. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I was just going to get y'all's opinion. Where do you think that Jerry Glasgow would rank as far as being a potential softball replacement for Mickey Dean?
And
at Lafayette?
Yeah, I don't speak with any knowledge of the situation more than you. I think he's a very good softball coach, and remember, he was here for about a month when Mickey Dean was hired. He was the offensive coach, and then the job for Louisiana opened up, and he had a chance to become a head coach and has done very well there. And I'm just reading what some folks react to Jerry. I think he's a fabulous softball coach. I think the one thing, if there is anything that works against him, it might be his age, because he's in his late 60s at this point.
Well, that was another question I was going to ask.
I don't know that for sure. I don't know his age, but and again, this is just, you know, some of the message boards that I'm reading. That's the one thing I think that seems to work against him it wouldn't work against him with me. I think he's a very good softball coach, and he's an offensive minded coach, and
he's 65.
Okay, he's 65. So if there is something that works against him, perhaps that's it. I think he's a great coach, and he's an offensive guy. And boy, Auburn has needed offense.
No kidding.
For the last, pitching has not been a problem for Auburn. They've needed that offense. So, but listen, I don't have any insight into what John Cohen, the route that he is taking. I know that Philip has put some names out there. Philip Marshall has put some names, and he has covered that program very heavily,
right,
since the Clint Meyer days. So he may have more of an insight into that. I bet to answer your question, I think Jerry Glasgow is a very good softball coach.
All right. I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Hi, John. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, John. Yeah, and as you said, that should be the next news, and right, we just don't know. Depending on if they go for someone who is currently a head coach,
right,
or affiliated with the school that's in postseason right now.
Exactly. I think that's the next hurdle, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Auburn will be getting its women's tennis coach on campus soon, the associate head coach at A&M. They won the national championship, and he probably has some players that now are taking part in the individual and sing or doubles tournament in Stillwater. I think that's where they're playing the tournament this year. So, but he should be on campus fairly soon. We'll see how he puts together the Auburn women's tennis program.
I'm not an expert in these fields, but that's never stopped me before from saying, I'm not as familiar with Coach Glasgow.
Yeah.
But I watched a couple of Troy South Alabama games this year, and I learned more about both of those programs, and those are both in-state programs led by phenomenal head coaches. Yeah. Becky Clark has been at South Alabama since they started the program in 2007. She's been to the NCAA tournament multiple times. She's won the Sun Belt multiple times. Eric Newell is in year two or year three at Troy, but he's doing a very good job. Both teams, I don't know if South made the NCAA tournament this year, but they've made the NCAA tournament multiple times under Clark. Troy was there, but it's a those are two excellent coaches in the state. I've not read Phillip's list, but I would think that both of them are worth at least a look with the amount of winning they've done as in-state coaches in the Sun Belt.
Here's one thing that I observed in John Cohen and his hiring of Hugh Freeze. he is, and his group, the folks that work with him in these kind of, are incredibly thorough. And I would expect they are going to be as thorough for their softball coach as they were for the women's tennis coach, and as they were for the football search as well.
Yeah, and the other thing you know is there is that John, as every AD is going to have, he's had a list which has been, you know, changing and being updated yearly, just in case, because you never know when you're going to need to make a change. Other times you may feel like one's coming, but you'd better have a pretty extensive list. And I'm sure he does, and I'm sure he'd like to get it done as soon as possible. But the thing is, you want to get it done right.
Absolutely, and it doesn't matter what program it is, whether it's whether it's your women's tennis program or your softball program or football or basketball. So I expect that the naming will take place at a rather timely manner. Again, it may depend on what coach is what involved and what they are doing in the NCAA tournament at this point.
Can't imagine there's a noun we've used more on the show in the last couple of years that was just absent before than portal. But that's another one where, the portal's open in softball. Like, that's a consideration too. Right. I mean, once the NCAA tournament field is announced and the portal's open. So whoever gets the job, is gonna have to hit the job, hit the ground running.
They'll have to replace their top two pitchers right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Shelby Lowe and the one who has more.
Yeah, Maddie.
Maddie Penta's numbers are phenomenal. I mean, what she did, what they did, what that Auburn team did Saturday night into Sunday morning was remarkable. They played to 3:00 Eastern time Sunday morning, and she struck out 21. In a 12-inning game, she strikes out 21 through well over 200 pitches. I think over 220 pitches in that game, and Auburn beat UCF 2-1. It's too bad that game took place so late, because it really is one of the classic softball games, I think, in Auburn softball history, outside those two runs to Oklahoma City for during the Clint Myers era. But that game the other night, and listening to Britt and JJ call that game, so I was up when the game ended. We had the game streaming in our bedroom. and wow. I woke up just in time to hear Auburn take the lead and then to hear Auburn win the ball game. So
wow.
It was fun. They did great work this weekend down in Tallahassee.
Oh, you're right. Speaking of Philip Marshall, he today listed five names that he says he has heard the most. They are Kenny Gajewski of Oklahoma State, the head coach at Oklahoma State, Melissa Lombardi, the head coach at Oregon.
Some of these coaches are now done with their season.
Mm-hmm.
So
Chris Malvo, Tennessee's hitting coach, Pete Yarmer, Virginia Tech head coach, and Clarissa, I'm not sure if it's Crowell or Crowell, Penn State's head coach.
Okay.
But those are the five names that Philip said that doesn't mean it's one of them. Those are just the names he has heard the most.
I think he has a better idea of those candidates perhaps than about anybody else out there.
I agree.
Because I think he has covered softball as thoroughly as anybody has from the print. What do we call that now?
I don't know.
The old newspaper
day. The old ink and paper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway.
No, but that's the I do wonder with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas, if the SEC is even more than it is now going to be the place to be for softball coaches.
Well, I mean, Texas was the number one seed. Oklahoma was the number two seed. They're going for their fourth national championship.
Oklahoma is
from a softball standpoint, absolutely.
Yeah, Oklahoma is the program
in
college softball, and you're adding, and then Texas is the
number one seed.
Correct. Exactly. To add that to what the SEC, and remember, every SEC team made the NCAA tournament in softball already this season. You're adding Texas and Oklahoma to that. So it could be an advantageous time to be looking for a coach because, I mean, and there's also the financial uncertainty of every conference that isn't the SEC or the Big Ten, which opens up the possibility that an ACC or a Big 12 coach might look at Auburn and say, ooh,
or in this case, perhaps a Big Ten coach.
Yes, and in fact, there was a Big Ten coach on that list too. Which
I don't know.
It's they seem to be big game hunting based on that list.
I would hope Auburn does.
Absolutely.
I hope that's no reason not to.
Absolutely,
yes.
And that's what they should be doing, as you know, considering the program.
Right. Meanwhile, the SEC baseball tournament, halfway through day one on the single elimination here with Georgia and now Alabama are eliminated.
Yeah, this is the one and done day.
Right.
The play-in day, so to speak. And I think both of those teams are in good shape now. I think Alabama's win against Auburn Saturday with an RPI as high as Alabama's is, I think they're in. Now, they may be a three seed somewhere.
There's really no difference in a two and a three seed.
LSU may – I think LSU greatly helped itself today with that win against Georgia.
Yeah.
Because I think had LSU lost today, the NCAA committee would have had the decision of, wow, do we not include LSU?
The defending
exactly.
champions. For
a third straight year, do we not have them in? I think LSU is going to go on the road if they're going somewhere, which is bizarre. But I think Alabama made its way into the NCAA tournament with its win against Auburn. Even with that loss today, I think they're in. I think LSU helped itself a great deal just to be in the postseason today.
Next game coming up, Florida and Vandy, followed by Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
And Florida helped itself incredibly by taking 2-3 at Georgia this weekend. And
Georgia had been on such a roll.
Florida was on the bubble, and Vandy, to a certain degree, were on the bubble. Vandy may still have to win.
Of the schools you got to see facing Auburn this year, is there one or two that stand out to you as
Let me say, I did not get to see any of the Vanderbilt series because I was doing basketball in the same town.
Right.
But
I was there at the same time.
Exactly.
Right.
And I didn't see Arkansas here. Those are the two series that I missed for basketball.
And Arkansas would be a fair answer based on, you know,
I'm not sure anybody pitches better than Arkansas. Does just and I got to see some of those games that were taking place. I was impressed with Arkansas. Here's the team to me. There are two. Folks don't want to give Kentucky a lot of credit just because they're Kentucky, and they claim their second ever SEC regular season championship.
Mm-hmm.
They were really good here.
They were
against Auburn, and hit the ball much better than I think we expected them to.
What was in game three? It was 6-0, 7-0 before Kentucky comes back
in that third game.
And the bats wake up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
now Tennessee is really, really good, but we all know that they're really good. A&M's the team.
I was going
to
say the
A&M,
team that I thought hit the ball the hardest.
Yes, I agree.
That I saw against Auburn
I think A&M, Tennessee, and Kentucky are all set up to host regionals, and if they get there, super regionals as well. And all three of those teams are extraordinarily good at home.
I believe State also has a chance to host a regional.
I wouldn't be surprised if they host a regional. I would be surprised if they are considered a top eight team. But no, State can play. They have bounced back after 2 years of not making the SEC tournament.
All right, so that is going on right now as well. We will get to our bottom of the hour break. Still have a half an hour in. In this hour, how long are you with us, Andy?
I'll stick around for one more segment.
We got Andy for another segment.
Now,
so
if you want me to.
Oh, we'd love for you to.
Okay.
And you can join
Dan's
us.
Over there shaking his head. No,
334-321-1390.
I perish the thought, Andy, that you're going anywhere.
Yeah, we're right back. Stick with us.
Live with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. 24 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. One more segment with Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers here. And we'd love for you to join in if you have any questions or comments for Andy. We were just talking there during the break. I mean, one of the things we started talking about at the beginning of the show is, you know, just waiting to see. It's the portal opens for baseball June 3rd, and there will be a lot of players in the portal in baseball, as there are in football and basketball.
I mean, Butch does and has talked about this for years. He does, you know, final end of the year meetings with all the players.
Right.
And I think he's very honest with players about their future, their possible future. And I won't be at all surprised to hear, and have heard this in the past, you know, he's told some guy, you know, you if you want more playing time, it may be time for you to look elsewhere. I think he's very honest,
mm-hmm.
which is not surprising when we talk about Butch. So there will be some changes coming for baseball. I mean, you're losing some guys. You're bound to lose some guys to the transfer portal, and Auburn will hit that transfer portal and has, I'm sure, been planning for it as best they can. And again, all of that with the idea that the Major League Baseball draft is midsummer.
Right.
I mean, and it seems like, and maybe it's just because
the timing is Auburn, just terrible.
It is that. But boy, it sure seems like the draft in years past has just killed Auburn. Guys that, well, we knew. I mean, your Major League Baseball home run leader right now was
Gunnar
Auburn
Henderson. You had a pretty good idea.
Might be the best shortstop in baseball.
And then there are other guys that all of a sudden just became Jake Peavy, for example. You know, puts together a fabulous senior year, and all of a sudden, instead of coming to Auburn, and he was commit, mm-hmm. he was coming here.
He was signed, right?
Yes, he was coming, and then all of a sudden, he ends up in Major League Baseball. The Stovall that ended up coming back to Auburn and played football.
Right.
That's a guy that was thought to be a lock for Auburn, had signed with Auburn, has a fabulous senior year, and all of a sudden the scouts start showing up at his games, and I'm not talking the college scouts either. So you hear those stories. It seems like it happens more to Auburn. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just because that's the program
that's,
we follow.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one you're the closest to. Well, I mean, Auburn, I mean, with another really highly touted signing class, pitching heavy, which they absolutely need.
They need. So we'll find out. We'll find out this summer, and there will be there will be more news, I think, to come through the year, through this summer before the draft,
mm-hmm.
with regard to the portal and guys that are going or that type of thing.
I wonder if the strategy needs to be you almost assume the draft eligible guys are gone and build the roster accordingly, just because you can't wait until.
I don't think you're in a day and age where you can be surprised anymore. I think you have to have an idea. I think they, you know, they talk to the scouts too. I mean, those guys and gals are around the program a lot, not just on game day, but sometimes they're around practices or scrimmages. And I think Auburn has Butch and his staff have a good relationship with those scouts, and I think they get an idea. I mean,
sure.
When are you looking
at
this guy?
Sure, I mean, and these guys, you know, most of these kids signed back before their senior season.
Right.
And the ones that are going out and upping their stock, yeah, they know.
Sure.
I mean, it's not like –
they have an idea.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I do think, and we've talked about this with Jason Caldwell, with Brian Matthews. I mean, it's I think that Auburn's going to have to – hit the portal, especially with the intention of finding at least one, maybe two weekend starters.
I agree. There's no question that they've got they have to help the pitching staff between now and next season, whether it is the portal, whether it's through the high school ranks.
It's just tougher for high schoolers to step in and be SEC weekend
starters.
In this league
it is. So don't be surprised if that's the case for Auburn.
Yeah, so who'd have thought? I mean, everything has changed so much. And wanted to get your thoughts on, and we'll sort of use that and slide into, because of the portal and NIL, stories like today, Jaden Rashada suing Billy Napier.
Are you not surprised that this story has come to this point?
No, not at all, after all the publicity he left Florida.
A little surprised it took this long, frankly.
But nearly $14 million dollars that he had signed agreements for over nine, and never got that. And that's one of the reasons that he left the University of Florida. And
is he at Arizona State now? Is that
he's at Georgia now? Remember,
he's at Georgia.
Okay. Yeah, he left Arizona State, and now he's going to Georgia to be Carson Beck's backup this year.
You know, the language in the lawsuit, reading from this is a CBS story, John Talty's story earlier today. He names different people, including Coach Napier, who, quote, orchestrated and executed a fraud upon Jaden and were substantially and knowingly assisted by one another in carrying out the fraud. Each of their individual schemes would not have succeeded without assistance from one another, unquote, talking about the promises made to lure Jaden to the University of Florida in the first place.
My goodness. Billy Napier, I mean, the seat is already pretty darn hot. But, I mean, this is something that it was unimaginable just a few years ago that there'd be anything like this, like a player suing a coach for millions of dollars. When there wasn't, I mean,
exactly
something.
Now, other names are more prominent in the lawsuit than as far as actively.
Well, other names are more maybe more involved.
Yes.
Billy Napier's the most prominent.
The most
name.
Prominent one. You're right, but other names are more prominently featured throughout the lawsuit. The people that were in charge of the Gator Collective and the Gator Guard and
was the big deal the fact that the group that he signed with pretty much folded? Wasn't that part of it?
That's one of the complications.
The NIL Collective.
I think the big deal was that they promised him more money than they had. That was the biggest deal. Was that because we were talking about this at the time that. I mean, Jaden Rashada had been promised more than the yearly revenue targets of this organization, and it's like, well, that seems something's gonna the center's not gonna hold there, and sure enough, it's gonna be decided in court.
Yeah, remember he had
or outside of court.
It'll be decided somewhere.
Yes.
Well, remember Rashada he was going to Miami, and supposedly had about a $9 or $10 million deal there in Florida. Said, oh, we can top that. And then it turned out they couldn't. And so now he's going to see if he can get that money that they said they were going to give him in the first place while going to Georgia. You reckon he's just going to Georgia just for the experience he's not going to be getting anything there?
Rashada has informed this was not Kirby Smart was not surprised by this lawsuit. Kirby Smart knew beforehand that Jaden Rashada was going to do this. And apparently, and using the CBS language, Smart gave his blessing to his quarterback on
sure.
that one.
Sure, screw Florida. So
at least it's not. But it's
not a terrible. Terrible feeling.
What's Kirby going to say? Oh, don't do that.
No, you don't want to go against Florida. You want to do anything that might hurt Florida.
You may want some notice if your quarterback's going to sue another coach in the conference. I don't know, but yet another sign of the times. Isn't it's not just a Prince album,
right?
It's out there.
No, it has changed. College athletics has changed so much, and Andy, it's not done. I mean, we're still waiting. We're going to. I think we'll find out. I wouldn't be surprised if there is something, at least an agreement in place before this fall, as the NCAA tries to avoid completely being bankrupted and dissolved.
Yes, agree. I don't know exactly where this is going. It's not good for the NCAA, but the NCAA can look at itself a little bit too.
Oh, no question about that.
This was not a proactive group until it was too late. Well, that will never happen. Guess what? It's happened.
It indeed has.
And I think the next few weeks and months will be filled with news about, I mean, we already have some today with the Big 12 voting yes on the settlement in House versus NCAA, and I think we'll learn more about.
And I guess it's up to the presidents of all of these universities.
I guess every president gets a vote,
right.
And how that goes is how the conference votes, my understanding is.
That's how I understand it.
And then you get the white smoke.
I don't know.
Out of the chimney, we'll know if there's a settlement. It's huge numbers being talked about. But you also remember, I mean, this is dating back decades with this lawsuit. And there's been so much sort of lingering over the NCAA of, oh, well, what will happen when this? What will happen if that? And if, you know, I think the one bright spot of that settlement was it will seem to sort of pave the way for less of that Wild West we were talking about, Bill, and more of, you know, an actual, you know, sort of knowing, even though you can have reservations about what that future entails, but
it
does seem like at least it's a step towards.
Here's my question.
Whatever's next.
How far back and who are the ones that are going to benefit from this lawsuit?
Well, it's supposed to include thousands of former.
That's my point.
Former athletes. That's a good question.
What
will it be? All living, or will it? Sure. I mean, I don't know.
How far back are we going? Is it just?
Is it only going to go back as far as video games?
Is it just football? I mean, is it basketball? Is it swimming? Is it tennis?
So with
well,
house,
and the question is, this settlement, how is it going to or can it affect Title IX?
Exactly.
I mean, there's so many.
Those are questions that I've not
tentacles
heard.
That. You know? Yeah.
And who's going to be in charge of that? Who will regulate that part?
It's amazing too.
Great question.
We were talking with somebody at work about there's a video game, NCAA Basketball 2009. Kevin Love is on the cover in his UCLA jersey. This is a really important piece of evidence in college athletics history because this is the video game where Ed O'Bannon,
right,
the former UCLA player, saw that a number 31 who looked just like him and was using his left-handed jump shot was featured as part of a UCLA historical team. And Ed O'Bannon contacted a lawyer and asked about sort of the legality of that. And, you know, the lawsuit ended that franchise, ultimately ended the college football video game franchise in general, and is one of the key lawsuits that got the ball rolling on the NIL movement that made folks. I mean, it was one of the reasons that California was in the forefront of the...
All right, and how much money is Ed O'Bannon going to benefit from this?
It's a trivial video game in a franchise, but that's the one where Ed O'Bannon saw his name, image, and likeness used, and it led to a whole lot. It'll be taught in law schools someday, probably.
Yeah, you're right about that. Andy, I know you've got to run.
Yeah.
Have a good trip.
Thank you.
Home this week. And
look forward to getting home to Illinois and seeing some friends and family, and when we'll be back. But coming up on the Talking Tigers podcast, part number one of the Mark Chapman interview is out now. Part two comes out Monday,
mm-hmm.
Both in audio form at AuburnTigers.com and the video form on War Eagle Plus. In 2 weeks, Dom Studzinski, I have trouble saying that name quickly, the strength and conditioning coach, followed by Will Redmond, who's the general manager for player personnel for Auburn football. So those are the next, and including this one, that's the next four podcasts on the Talking Tigers podcast. We'll be out and about at various events, and we'll be gearing up for the first Tiger Talk in mid-August on Wings 94.3.
All right, Andy, thanks again.
My pleasure.
Happy Memorial Day.
And to you as well. Thank you.
All right, we will get to our final break here of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
This is Amy Brabham.
Welcome back into the drive. Final couple of minutes here of hour number one on this Tuesday afternoon. Our thanks to Andy Burcham for joining us here. And, we were just talking. I mean, it's a fairly slow time. I mean, we're waiting to see who Auburn's next softball coach is. We're wondering who the guard that Auburn adds in basketball is going to be. There's no news that we're like, oh, it's about to happen. Maybe something will happen, but it's that time of the year when let's face it, it's pretty slow. I mean, we're about, I guess the end of the month. That'll wrap up everything as far as the athletics for the calendar year, for the athletics year.
Love getting the chance to talk to Andy, even though he's not in Hoover right now, and I know he's disappointed about that. But it's a fun time. Conference tournament time's fun. It's fun. It's fun for the players, fun for the coaches, fun for the fans, fun for the broadcasters. Get to see each other and hang out some. And that's hopefully Andy will be back at the SEC baseball tournament soon. Even though Auburn unable to qualify this year.
Yeah, I mean,
do we think everyone goes next year? Is that the thinking? With 16?
I think you may have a single elimination 16 team tournament. That's just that's what I've heard. Wouldn't be surprised there, and that way you don't have buys. Everybody just let's go ahead and play.
I do wonder. I mean, there's probably a way to do 16.
Saves your pitching a little.
There's
bit.
Probably a way to do 16 with buys, right?
Like, oh, I'm
to,
sure
to,
there
to
is.
Figure out like
sure
you
there
know,
is. To, I mean, you just need to be able to
make the bottom seats jump through hoops or whatever.
You can get it to as long as you get it to something that's eventually going to get to four, you're okay. I guess you could, but that would stretch it out and make it even longer. You'd need more time to do that. I mean, if you've got a 16-team tournament, then you've got 8 games, 4 games, 2 games, and a championship. You do it in 4 days. and just get knock it out like that. But
I believe we're getting an answer on that from an inside source.
Top four get byes.
All right. So okay. there will be a little more baseball there, but it should still be a fun tournament next season.
I'm thinking if the top four get byes and you got 12, you have 12 playing, that gets you to six, then you need some more byes in there as well. Or other play-ins. Yeah, let's see. You'd need to get four. So you could have eight teams playing to get to four. I don't know. Gonna confuse me. All right. We're halfway done. Okay, top four get byes, top four. Yeah, okay. I'm reading the instructions here. We'll figure it out. Hey, if we'd love for you to join in. Don't forget Jake Crane joins us at the bottom of hour number two. And we're just about to head there to the second hour of the show, that is, here on the Tuesday Drive.
Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, who was with us for most of hour number one. Hope you got to hear Andy. If you missed any of that, you can check out our podcast.
Podcasts of The Drive, available however you get your podcasts. Go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. Or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. I'm sure there are other podcasting platforms out there that you can use. Those are the two most popular ones. Mm-hmm. And ESPNAU.com is also a great way to check it out. And all that's courtesy of our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Hour number two of The Drive brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We'd love for you to join in here on The Drive. You can do so by calling The Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, also presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, there is not a ton of sports news. We talked about one of the biggest stories there right at the end with Andy Burcham, that the fact that, how many schools has he been committed to or attended? Jaden Rashada has...
Well, it was a one-time Miami and Florida commit. Then he started his college career at Arizona State, and then
seemed like he was committed to somebody else before he committed to Miami and Florida, and yes, former Arizona State. He did play a little at Arizona State
as a true freshman. Got on the field a little bit, and then now at Georgia as the backup to Carson Beck, and someone in the competition to be the starter at Georgia. I think most folks think this is going to be Carson Beck's final year in college football. And so following this season, you know, Jaden Rashada could be in the picture as Georgia's starter. But, yeah, as you said, one of the big pieces of news today, Rashada filing a lawsuit against a lot of folks involved in his recruitment to Florida, including Florida head coach Billy Napier, accusing them of fraud. Summarizing the lawsuit, the Reader's Digest version. They promised money that they had no intention of paying him with the hope to get him commitment and get his services as a college football player. And he's after some of that money he was promised.
He says, Jaden Rashada says, according to the story on CBS, he and his family were offered a $13.85 million deal with $5.35 million, including a $500,000 signing bonus, to go through an automotive company and then the rest through Gator Guard, which was an NIL collective that the head of the Velocity Automotive Company had started. Hathcock, who is the head of Velocity Automotive.
This is Hugh Hathcock.
Hugh Hathcock.
A Gators booster.
He had promised $12.6 million to go to the Gator booster organization. And it said they raised $5 million in their first 24 hours, but they never got close to the $12.6 million. Hathcock told Rashada's representatives he didn't want to route the NIL payments through his company because he was going to sell the company. And instead, he proposed money coming from the Gator Collective, that is Florida's other NIL collective. And so, I mean, there was millions. I believe his father was supposed to get a job with a security company that was involved with Velocity Automotive as well. It was supposed to be like $1 million for his dad. And
so Jaden Rashada had committed to Miami with a $9.5 million deal promised to him by Miami's NIL collective. That was John Ruiz, the guy who was very involved in some other high profile Miami transfers through their NIL collective. So Jaden Rashada was committed to play in Miami. $9.5 million was the price on the board. Florida attempting to top that offer.
They said whatever it takes.
Yeah, promised Jaden Rashada. And again, some of this is from Rashada's lawyer, Rusty Harden, who's been involved in some other very high profile lawsuits involving athletes. But Rashada claims that he was given he was promised $12.5 million, paid $500,000 of it, and then they tried to get out of the rest of the deal after the day after it was not paid. The day after the $500,000 payment was due, the Gator Collective sent Rashada a termination letter of his $13.85 million deal. The only payment made was the payment to pay back the Miami booster who had apparently given $150,000 to Rashada in order to convince the involved in the deal for the NIL collective with Miami. So it's a mess. I mean, it sounds, but the crux of it is the allegation would be that folks at Florida involved in, you know, important people with their NIL collective and football head coach Billy Napier promised a large sum of money, knowing that they had no intention of making good on that promise.
Yeah, what's going to be really interesting to follow is can they find evidence that Billy Napier not only knew of the deal but knew that there was no intent to pay Jaden Rashada, because that's where Billy Napier is drawn into this. The attorney says Billy Napier knew full well that there was no intention of paying Rashada and his family what they'd been promised.
The allegation, again, from the CBS story is that on the first day of the early signing period, Napier personally vouched to Rashada that the Florida alumni running the collectives were good on their promise that Jaden would receive the money if he signed with Florida on National Signing Day, unquote. That, if you remember, there was like folks were waiting to see what Jaden Rashada was going to do on signing day, and I believe that the I don't know what else is there involving Napier, but if I mean that apparently factors into the lawsuit that he was he was vouching for the people making these allegedly fraudulent promises,
and I wonder, this is going to prove that these are contracts. I mean, that's the thing. Apparently, I guess some of the Florida folks just felt like, we're taking it back. We didn't mean it. We're not going to be able to do that. Not expecting anyone to consider this a contract that that is binding.
When you're convincing a player to leave another offer that's out there, right? When someone else has,
he has an agreement. He has received something.
It feels
he's received that $150,000.
Right, and there's
it's not like he just gotten a promise from Miami that he was going to get something. He got something from Miami.
Not trained in the law or anything, but it would seem like you could demonstrate harm. You know, with, hey, this there's money that he would have gotten from this other school if you hadn't made this promise and then not followed through on it. It's going to be
they're damages.
Yeah, I would. I mean, it sure seems like if I mean, and again, some of it is taking folks at their word. Some of it is contracts and the stuff, you know, the stuff in the ink and paper seems like it favors Rashada's case at the moment.
I would think so. But how crazy? I mean, just how crazy is it? If you'd been
another headache for Billy Napier too.
Oh yeah, on top of you better win.
Yeah,
you better win and make a big step forward this year.
The Gainesville version of our show is doing like a hot board.
Golly,
like
you're not.
I mean, it's not even about like how are things going to work out this season. I feel like that the Gainesville version of the Drive is just doing who is the next head coach at the University of Florida and how do we get Lane Kiffin. Like, and what do you do, or who is it that you think could be
is this something that could go ahead and spur Florida going ahead and pull the plug?
I don't know if being named in a fraud lawsuit would be enough to get them off the hook financially.
There are an awful lot of Gator boosters, Gator fans that are not happy and have wanted a change with Billy Napier.
You know where he is, Bill? He's in Scott Frost territory. And that's not where you remember.
You're
you remember
right.
Two years ago, Scott Frost had an unbelievably hot seat all offseason going into Nebraska. Probably would have lost his job if he wasn't a celebrated former Nebraska player.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave him one more season. But that season was impossible to recruit under those conditions. They didn't have enough in house to lean on. Whatever Frost's shortcomings were, you know, in that job were sort of. I mean. It was over within 3 or 4 weeks of the season starting for Scott Frost, and they began the search for his replacement. And I think Billy Napier's under that kind of pressure to show results 5-6 games into the season, and if they're not there, it's going to be really hard. I mean, he's going to be in. I mean, I'm talking about Scott Frost, but it's somewhat reminiscent of year two for Harsin. Where, I mean, if you're 5-6 games into the season and you don't have it.
You want to look 5 or 6 games into the Gator season? They open the season against Miami. Then they've got Samford before they.
The Miami game is so high stakes for
them. Oh, you're not kidding.
Because the loser of that game, either your boy, Cristobal, Drew, or Billy Napier. The loser of that game's in a lot of trouble early. I mean, Cristobal's probably built up
enough goodwill. His seat's a little cooler, much cooler.
Yeah,
than Napier's.
Lose to Florida.
Lose to Florida. This Florida team with all this crap going on? Absolutely. But after they play Samford the next week, they've got Texas A&M coming in. Then they go to Starkville before they have UCF. And then they go to Knoxville. I mean, there's a really good chance he doesn't make it to Halloween.
The second half's not easy.
Oh, either. No, because then they've got Kentucky for homecoming, Georgia, of course, in Jacksonville. They go to Texas, LSU comes in, Ole Miss, and Florida State.
That's the
They may make him stick around through the end of the season.
It's one of the tougher 5-game stretches in college football. How Florida finishes the season. That's a season that also includes Miami and UCF on the out of conference.
Non-conference. Yeah,
and a trip to Knoxville. It's brutal. It's probably
Miami, UCF, and Florida State. They play all three of the other Florida schools. As non-conference, Samford is their fourth.
I mean, shout out to being an SEC team scheduling 11 Power 5 opponents. I mean, eight SEC games and 3 non-conference games against power conference opponents. That's wild. I wonder if more teams will look to do that in the future. While they watch
this coach be fired and Florida look like they're going up in flames, they'll probably be going, no, we won't do that.
Well, the guy's firing Billy Napier won't be going up in flames. They'll be looking at the possible revenue of, we could sell how many tickets to 10 home games, 11 home, whatever way you would
sell those tickets, but it gets tougher to sell them when you're not winning.
Oh, you're right. I mean, but the schedule won't be the only reason if Florida's
winning. You're right.
The schedule will be part of it, but if Florida's not winning, it's going to be But that Bill, that second half
that is brutal.
Yeah,
that is brutal. And you know what is really sort
are
of
those are. I mean, there are four. I mean, I want to be careful about LSU because they're replacing quite a bit.
They are, but they're going to be they'll be a ranked team preseason. I mean,
those are five preseason top 15 teams to round out the season.
Top 20 for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Georgia,
Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State. Yes,
those could be five playoff teams. Four of them. Yeah, we'll see. But
I would think at least three are going to be in the top 12. Yeah, that is crazy. And the sort of just really funny thing is, here is a current Georgia quarterback suing the University of Florida and its coach for $14 million. I mean, that's the whole thing is so bizarre. But yeah, that's what it is. And how does Billy Napier survive this year?
I don't know.
I just can't see it.
Napier and Pittman both seemed like this off like and the way things have changed where you know what, in a previous era of college football where you hold on to all your freshmen and sophomores, and that's the foundation of your team.
Yeah, you
and
say,
stuff.
You know, just give them a couple of more years.
Yeah, give
and
them a
then
year
you'll see
what happens.
The fruits of this class. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah I mean, last year's team disappointed, but, you know, those guys were young, and give them a year, whatever. This isn't.
Not anymore, because they're not going to be around.
Yeah.
They'll be playing for somebody else and beating you.
Yeah, it's not the way. I think both Arkansas and Florida, like they decided to stand with the guy. You know, they went with loyalty, and that's commendable. But
Sam Pittman makes a little more sense even for Arkansas because things looked so bright, and it's like, well, we'll see if this is just a dip. For Billy Napier, it's been it wasn't. You know, he came in with high expectations; they haven't been met. And it doesn't look like, but things are about to turn for the better.
With both Pittman and Napier, I think there's an argument to be made that those programs would be. I mean, we'll see what happens this season. But if both of those programs underachieve, you wonder if you would have been better off if this had been year one for the new guy rather than holding on to either Napier or Pittman. If you set your program back longer, like that's the danger of going with loyalty. Now is that you could make the wrong decision and stick around. You know, if you have the wrong guy for a year too long, you're digging out of it for it's going to take even longer.
Yeah, you're digging deeper.
In the Poseidon Adventure or something, right? Where you got the group headed the right way off the ship, and you got the group that's going deeper
into
the
down.
It's like no, you're going. It's like if you hold on to the wrong coach, all I mean you're moving, but you're moving. You're moving closer to the bottom of the ocean.
Yep. Let's get to our first break here of hour number two. Don't forget Jake Crane of Crane & Company going to join us in about 15 minutes. But until then, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Come on in here on the Tuesday Drive.
The results are in, and game day men's health and all.
Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And, I don't know if we had access to the Bruce Pearl audio. I've got some audio we can run at some point this week, the audio from yesterday up in Alex City. And again, a couple of things coming out of that, as we mentioned a little while ago. I mean, Auburn looking for another guard. It isn't necessarily, I think preferably it would be, but isn't necessarily going to have to be someone who is primarily a point guard. I think what Bruce Pearl what Auburn would love to have is someone who has some experience being a point guard, but could be a shooting guard who also can play a few minutes of point, sort of the way Denver Jones has done. But really looking for someone to be that fourth guard to try to ensure that in case you have an injury or anything like that, that you don't really have your back against the wall. But other than that, I mean, I think they're very happy with the rest of the situation there at with the basketball team. Football.
Well, on the basketball front, like I don't think Yeah, I was talking. There's no telling where the guard may come from, but I would expect Auburn to add somebody, you know, to play some point guard or somebody who they feel good enough off the ball where, because you know something Justin and I talked about last night, like the numbers when Denver Jones played point guard, some of the underlying statistics were promising. Not to say that's where Denver should be playing all the time, but if Auburn wants to go to Denver as a change of pace at the one, if they really like their other options on the wing with Denver at the point, especially if they were to add somebody else who would fit in there, like you had more scoring potential
when Denver was at the point.
Right. And so you wonder if Auburn looks at that as an option to spell JP or if they look at, I mean, there's Pettiford, there's the option of the other player. A couple of years ago, Auburn went to the junior college ranks and brought in Javon McCormick as a reserve point guard. That was the pre-transfer portal era, so there are a lot more ways to go get players than there were then. But Bruce has shown a willingness to dip into the JUCO ranks.
Right.
Last year, Chad Baker Mazzara mm-hmm. came from Niceville after playing
at about this time of year.
At about this time. So I would, I'm curious to see where they go, but I would expect a fourth scholarship. And I know, like Justin and I talked about this too, that you know, we're talking about Auburn's backcourt, really it's the one, the two, and the three. You know, the wings are all sort of mm-hmm. you know lumped in together. But I would expect Auburn to add somebody into that backcourt. But I am curious about about Ja'Kai, right? The thought of you know that they might look to use him some, because we've thought
well,
of
him. Well, he's not a power forward. He's what you used to just call a small forward.
Yeah,
but that could be a big guard. So that could be, that can be a wing is what Bruce is saying.
Yeah, we've wondered about, like, well, could he give you minutes at the four or the five alongside some of the other upperclassmen there?
I don't think yet he could.
Maybe not, but maybe Auburn just added a turtle who could give you some of those minutes. He's got a little Malik, you know, a little Malik Dunbar to him, maybe a little, there's some Deshaun. You know, Deshaun Murray had some of that, like he was leading rebounder on a Sun Belt team a couple years ago, and that league, it's a knife fight under the basket, Bill. Like it is tough underneath in the Sun Belt. So once you hear, six and a half, seven rebounds a game for a Georgia State team that has sent a lot of kids elsewhere in D1 basketball into productive roles at programs. I think Turtle is a really exciting new addition to this roster.
Yeah, I agree. It's I think it's a good fit, really good fit. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar, and we'll get to it. And Tex is up next. Hey, Tex. Oh, we lost Tex. Oh well,
Tex, give us a call back.
Yeah, if you get a chance, give us a call back.
I made him so angry, he hung up the phone before he even got on.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, we talked a good bit of baseball with Andy a little earlier, and I mean, that's usually the direction we go with Tex.
Would you prefer an earlier draft? Is that the sense I was getting from you and Andy? About
yeah, I think so.
I mean, it would
I mean,
be
just
for...
just so you'd have a better idea with your roster. I mean, you're waiting to see who's drafted. While I mean, the thing is, the portal opens before the draft, and you've signed players before the draft. There's some other players that you might like, but you don't know if you got spots for them. So, I mean, you have to sort of keep them in limbo or hope that they don't sign with someone else. The timing is just it's just not good. But, you know, what does Major League Baseball care? And, you know, what we've seen it. We've seen similar things in the portal opening and declaring for the NFL draft or the, you know, last year the situation – as Bruce Pearl was saying yesterday, what Auburn's going through at this point last year, wondering, is Ja'Nai going to be back? Are we trying to add somebody for his spot? In the meantime, you add a Chad Baker Mazzara at this point, and you're hoping that you get somebody back. And fortunately, everything worked out. But you have to deal the hand, you know, you have to play the hand that's dealt.
No, It's a hindrance to building a roster, the draft being as late as it is. But you're right. I'm sure baseball would say, you know, they want to give teams as much time to evaluate and negotiate with these players as possible. And it's it doesn't really matter to Major League Baseball if it makes it tougher on coaches or not to find and assemble their rosters. But yeah, it's another thing Auburn has to Auburn has to navigate as they look to improve from this year's team.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, we're still waiting to see if Auburn makes any more additions to the football roster. We know that they've been they've been waiting for Khalil Jacobs. I haven't seen anything on him in the last couple of days. I believe
Ole Miss was his last visit.
Yeah, I think he was going to go to Ole Miss. Has he been to what? Did he go to Alabama last weekend, or was he waiting to go this weekend? Again, my feeling has been for a long time that he's just sort of waiting to see if Alabama has a spot, that would be where he would prefer to go. And then we'll see if Auburn does indeed look to add another cornerback. And then
I believe Khalil Jacobs, according to reports, did visit Alabama over the weekend.
Okay, that's what I thought. And then Ole Miss was the last one I believe he was going to visit before he made a decision.
I believe that's the fourth visit he's made on top of Ole Miss and Auburn and Missouri. So we could be getting a decision from Khalil Jacobs soon if he's already visited all four of those schools on his list.
If he has, I mean, it seemed like he was close to making a decision about a month ago, doesn't it? I mean, it felt like, well, the expectations were he's going to do something, and then he hasn't. But I'm sure Auburn still has a spot for him. They'd like another outside linebacker.
You've mentioned the importance of being the most recent visit in these situations. Alabama, if he makes a decision soon, would be his most recent.
I think Alabama's where he wants to go. I think he's just waiting to see if Alabama has a spot, and I'm not sure that Alabama does.
There's a significant Alabama presence, around the Northwest Florida area. It's not that far from his family. If they want to drive and come see him. And his, as you've pointed out, Bill, his head coach last year is now the defensive coordinator at Alabama, and one would think that it would be. I mean, if you're Khalil Jacobs and you're gonna make the jump to the SEC, it's gonna be unfamiliar. You know, the coaches, the teammates, the opponents. It'll all be new. If you can have your head coach from last year as somebody in the locker room with you, I imagine that would be a big comfort. So, among other reasons why it would be a you would understand why Alabama would be at the top of this guy's list. You know, that Khalil Jacobs. I mean, the Kane Womack thing is mm-hmm. probably pretty powerful.
Yeah, I would think so. So, you know, maybe some news on that before too terribly long. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break.
I've tried to, like, you know, I've talked to my Niceville people, trying to trying to work, you know, make sure he knows there's a spot here, but the Alabama stuff might be too powerful, Bill.
Well, yeah, that relationship could be really tough. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Jake Crane of Crane & Company joins us on the other side. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
At AU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we're going to head to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and welcome in our good friend from Crane & Company, and that's Jake Crane. Hey, Jake, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great, guys, as usual. It's always fun to hop on and chat it up with you.
Jake, it's an odd time in the college athletics calendar because we don't have football or basketball to you know, we don't have results to talk about in those two sports. Still a lot of activity. You know, there's legal uncertainty swirling around a lot of conferences and conference meetings and stuff. And you're still hearing about football, and I think especially basketball players in the portal making their decisions as rosters start to take shape.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, with everything that's going on, I mean, this time of year, you know, again, outside of the Florida stuff, with the portal closing for, you know, football, obviously basketball is interesting, even though some guys are still – it seems like the portal never closes, let's be honest. They say it closes, but it feels like it never does. But, no, you know, Dan, just looking at this thing from a 30,000-foot view, I just want to make sure I mention something. I think Hugh Freeze can be more right with what he said about through the transfer portal, whether it be through NIL and that stuff. We have to have some sort of balance, some checks and balances on both sides, because this stuff's just getting out of control right now, in my opinion. But, yeah, it does fill the airwaves, radio waves, whatever. I mean, we spent 25 minutes talking about this Jaden Rashada situation with Florida that's just absolutely crazy.
The thing that I mean, it's tough to find common ground, you know, everywhere on a lot of this stuff. But I would think something that no one seems to be, very few people seem to think that freshmen, transferring and retaining their eligibility has been a positive development for the sport. I don't want to go too far with this, but it does seem like, you know, that's something coaches lament as, oh, well, you know, if you, and I think it's had an impact on high school recruiting, right? Like, why would you take, why would you lean heavily on high school recruiting if everyone's able to leave after just 1 year?
Except for the surefire things, those surefire, you know, starters that are coming out of high school, which there aren't that many of. Other than that, wouldn't you rather have a proven commodity as opposed to someone that may not be ready yet?
And I don't want to step in antitrust territory with, you know, limiting guys' ability to earn and everything, but it does feel like, you know, a 2-year commitment right out of high school would be a positive development in the sport. Jake, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think when you look at both ends of it, I mean, start with the NIL side. If you're going to take money to be at a place and that place asks you to be there a certain amount of years in the contract and you aren't there a certain amount of years in the contract, well, that's a good old-fashioned breach of contract to me. You should have to pay it back. I mean, you want it in the business. There's two sides of the business. Now, if there's freshmen that are coming in that may not be getting NIL money, in my opinion, if we just let, you know, them transfer as many times as they want, wherever they want, they'll just learn that, well, when it gets hard, I can just leave. I mean, how many players have we seen in the past that, you know, kind of struggled a little bit earlier in their career, and that's what molded them into the player they eventually became later in their career? Now, I don't think that you shouldn't have the ability to transfer. I've listed many different ways. I think the transfer portal can be fixed, and you can still have freedom of movement to a certain extent. But when we start talking about people paying money for people to go places and there's no consequence or repercussion for that person leaving the place where they got the money to go to in the first place, well, in any other business, that's a big problem. So I do think we let this monster out of the box with no rules. And now we're going to have to go through all these situations like the Rashada situation with Florida that can maybe set some precedent so that maybe we can have some rules. Because we're having to mold this ball of clay as it rolls downhill. It's just that's what happens when you roll it out like this.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the Jaden Rashada situation in Florida. We were talking about it a little while ago, obviously, as well. I mean, that is the biggest story in college sports right now is the lawsuit, the nearly $14 million lawsuit that Rashada is suing so many folks at Florida, including Billy Napier. And speaking of Billy Napier, man, we were looking at that Florida schedule. I don't see how Billy Napier is going to make it through this year. And there are a lot of Gator boosters that wouldn't mind Florida going ahead and using this. But I don't know who wants to jump in and take over for that team with the schedule they're facing this year.
Well, and they got pretty much the inverse of the same schedule in 2025. So it's not like you let him go through this year and then it's Dandelions and Tulips the next. I will say, in this whole Rashada situation, I think there may be a loophole where if it goes south, Florida may be able to fire Billy Napier with cause because of this lawsuit. Because remember, the university is not named in the lawsuit. We saw Tennessee do this with Jeremy Pruitt and not really have to pay a buyout. So don't think for a second if it does go south that they're not already thinking of ways to be able to save the most money possible. Now on the field, I think with this schedule, Billy Napier could do the best coaching job of his life and they still go 6-6.
Oh yeah.
I mean, your non-conference is Miami, Florida State, UCF, and then you look at their in-conference schedule. It's like getting hit with an aluminum baseball bat in the shin when you walk through the door. So it's just either way for Billy Napier, it's not looking very good, and this does nothing but add more pressure to what was already an incredibly pressure-filled game in week one against Miami.
I do wonder if legally, like, it would need to take another step before Florida could use it to get out of the Napier contract. Like, if he would need to be found liable for some fraud or something before it becomes actionable for Florida. Being named in a lawsuit alone, I don't know if that would be enough for them to sever ties and get out of paying him
what they owe him. They'd need to find some proof that he knew about this and knew that there was no intention of paying.
But I do wonder. Go ahead.
Well, the problem becomes if they start digging deep enough, most likely you're going to find something. Like, that's the thing. It's the, all right, guys, let the dogs loose. Let's go get them. Because 90% of the time, there's something there that everybody's been all in on and everybody knows about, but it's like the eject button. So just the fact that they're sniffing around, it's like the FBI. If they look around long enough, they're probably going to find something.
It does feel, though, and look, you don't want your tenure at a school to be compared to Scott Frost at Nebraska or Brian Harsin at Auburn. But that's where the Napier thing, look, it felt like that before today, before the lawsuit. And now just where he's heading into a situation where it just feels like all the winds are blowing right in his face, right? And it's Scott Frost made it what, 3-4 weeks, and then Nebraska said let's start the coaching search officially.
Yeah, and he's a legend at Nebraska. Yeah, he had a lot of equity built up.
Like, the only reason he got that is the only reason Frost got that extra year was because of that, because he was a legend who built up all that equity. You're right, and Scott Frost doesn't have that. Billy Napier doesn't have that.
Kicked it away. Yeah, but no, like, look, with Billy, he's Jon Snow right now from Game of Thrones. He just is. I mean, winter's coming. We're going to see. You're standing there with the sword by yourself. Like, let's find out.
Yeah, it's, it is a crazy situation to see.
Is Pittman in a similar boat? Would you say? I mean, it feels like a lot of the same stuff. I mean, Pittman's built something there, but I feel like Arkansas and Pittman are dealing with something similar, Jake.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's got to show some significant progress. But I would, and not that any of these schedules are easy, but like this one, I would definitely rather have Arkansas's situation right now than Florida's.
Talking with Jake Crane of Crane and Company here on the Tuesday Drive. We've been keeping an eye on, you know, the few folks out there in the portal. I mean, Auburn, you mentioned Hugh Freeze, and they have done a great job, I think, in the portal this year, really adjusting and bringing in what they needed there as far as depth on the defensive front and experience at receiver, getting a left tackle. Auburn's got to be, I would think, one of the winners really in the portal when you look back at it football-wise this year.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I think, you know, we're just one step away from somebody saying, you know, move that bus, and then seeing what the new team looks like. I think they've done a great job of flipping the roster in the most important areas, right? You know, there are some areas where if you got a good player, yeah, it's great you got a good player, but you're putting ice cream on top of ice cream. I mean, you had to go to the places where, you know, you just had carrots and vegetables and make that better, and I think they did that. You look what they did up front. You look what they did the wide receiver class they brought in. Lambert from Penn State, Lewis from Georgia State, to go along with some nice pieces, you know, that are young, and then Rivaldo Fairweather at tight end. Defensively, pass rusher, defensive line in general, adding some depth, that was huge. The back end, that's kind of the part where you worry about the most, but I think that's a place where Auburn does have some young talent, some guys that can come in and make an impact right away. So, I think Hugh Freeze and them want to make sure they do bring in another guy, or if another guy came in, he would fit the culture of what they are building there, because it's not just about bringing guys in, it's about bringing the right guys in. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like from a attitude standpoint, from a being all in, from a being aligned standpoint, they accomplished their mission.
It seems like the strategy this offseason for Hugh Freeze has been to improve the roster around Peyton Thorne and see if Peyton Thorne can have an improved second season at Auburn after joining the team last summer. Some folks thought that quarterback should have been a priority back in December when the transfer portal first opened up. Auburn sticks with last season's starter for much of the year, Peyton Thorne. If Peyton Thorne struggles this year, Jake, first of all, I mean, what do you think of that decision? But also, if Peyton Thorne struggles this year, is that a fair criticism of Hugh Freeze to say that he stuck with his guy instead of trying to upgrade that position through the portal?
Well, look, I mean, it's all about the result, right? It's all about the, you know, what happens once they get out there in the field. I mean, yeah, look, you know, sticking with your guy, that's great. And I trust Hugh Freeze. At the end of the day, Hugh Freeze has earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to quarterbacks and offense. So I trust Hugh Freeze to get that right, because, you know, a quarterback to a head coach is like an economy to a president. That's the biggest thing. That's what you got to get right. The rest will work itself out. But when you look at you know, what it means for the future, I think it's something to where, you know, you can't miss again, right? You can't really miss on two quarterbacks in a row. That's a long time to kind of be struggling at that position. And when you play in a conference like the SEC against the opponents that Auburn's going to play, you have to have a guy back there that can not only be competent and confident, but can be a game changer as well. And we've seen that at Auburn. So, look, I hope Peyton Thorne figures it out. I really do. That would be massive for Auburn. It's just the only time I've ever seen Peyton Thorne ball is when you had Kenneth Walker and Keon Coleman and you know, NFL wide receivers. Like, so not that Auburn doesn't have great players. I think Auburn's got really good players around him, but he's got to come out and play good. And that's not just throwing the ball well. It's not just not staring at the rush. It's making good decisions in the RPO. That was one spot last year where I was surprised that he struggled as much as he did. But, look, at the end of the day, I'm going to ride with what Hugh Freeze thinks.
Yeah, I mean, that is the area everybody's going to be looking at. I've just wondered about this. I mean, the terrible news with Brian Battee over the weekend. And then when we were looking at the Auburn roster, Sean Jackson no longer showing up on there, and word is that he's just decided to graduate and move on. Auburn only has three running backs. They may be in a situation, where they need to go back into the portal and find a fourth running back, because I don't know that you can get through with just through a season with just three running backs.
Yeah, you know, either that or there's somebody in another room that you feel like can help you as kind of an emergency guy that you could put back there. I mean, heck, there's even guys on defense that can run the ball. Believe me, I coached DBs. They all thought they were running backs. but no, you know, the situation that's gone on with Battee is just, I mean, it's horrific. It's tragic. Obviously, my, you know, prayers and our condolences go out to their family. But as far as the depth chart standpoint, yeah, you can't go through a season and risk only having three guys, because it bleeds into so much else, right? Obviously, it's running the ball. Obviously, it's catching the ball, but it's also pass protection.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't have a running back that can do that, I mean, you're in trouble. Now you're having to rob Peter to pay Paul, and you're just hoping that you can rob Peter. I mean, that's really what it is. So it's a tough deal. Do they need to go get another one? If there's nobody else that can help, then you probably do.
Well, it's going to be interesting, and I know you're keeping up with that and so much more. Just talk about what all you've got going at Crane & Company and how folks can check that out.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we're barreling towards college football. Obviously, we talk everything, but, you know, college football is paramount this time of year and really moving forward. We're going live at 2 p.m. Central now. We're loving the new time slot. Not because we get to sleep a little bit longer in the morning, or actually sleep at all in the morning, but
it doesn't
better
hurt.
For us overall. So, yeah. So we do live calls and live chats. Go to YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire, all that stuff. It's CRAINN Company, and come hang out with us.
Great stuff, Jake. Thanks again, man. Have a great week.
Hey, Jake, you going to Texas for Media Days?
I'll be there.
I'll see you there, man. Giddy up.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. It'll be a good time.
All right, take care, Jake.
All right, see ya.
Jake Crane joining us as he does every Tuesday. I just realized that. While you're in, because I was thinking, well, why don't I go? And I realized that's one of your concert dates,
isn't it?
One of my concert dates. That's Styx, Farner, and John Waite.
I gotta work my sources and get a Home Run Derby ticket, Bill.
Yeah,
I gotta pull some strings.
I would love to be at a Home Run Derby. All right, we will get to our final break. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
What's up, guys?
Live at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the Tuesday Drive. Fun show today with Andy Burcham joining us for most of hour number one. Jake Crane just with us. And yeah, it is sort of the slower time of year. I mean,
who you got in Hoover? Who's gonna win this thing? A&M.
I like A&M's bats. I think Kentucky is a team. It's funny, Andy's right. Kentucky doesn't seem to get a lot of credit. People talk about all these great teams in the SEC, and the Kentucky won it, won the regular season, and I don't know. I mean, there's some really really good teams. Thus far, we've had Georgia and Alabama get eliminated from the SEC tournament.
Okay, so Baseball America's projected field.
Arkansas, like Andy said, Arkansas has probably got the best pitching staff.
Taking a look at the projected field of 64 for Baseball America, they've got Tennessee as the number one overall seed. Does that make sense?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's really, really good.
Yeah, they got Tennessee as the number one overall seed. SEC teams in the draw. They got A&M as the number three overall seed hosting. They've got Kentucky as the number four overall seed hosting. They've got Arkansas as the number five overall seed hosting. They've got Georgia as the number eight overall seed hosting.
Is that 5 of the top 8.
That would be 4 of the top 5.
Right. And 5 of the top 8.
And 5 of the top 8. Those are the only SEC teams they have hosting in the draw, but they also have Mississippi State as the 2 seed in Indiana State's region. They have LSU as the 3 seed in Oregon State's region. They have Florida as the 3 seed in Florida State's region. And they have Alabama as the 2 seed in Clemson's region.
Alabama losing today may bump them to the 3 seed, but really there is no difference in the 2 and 3 seed because 2 and 3 play each other, and if you win, you're going to play the 1 seed.
And there's only a handful of places you can send Mississippi State and LSU and Alabama.
Because, that aren't SEC sites?
Yeah, but Mississippi State and Florida and Alabama and LSU, the 4 SEC teams they have in the draw that aren't going to be. Oh, South Carolina is in the draw, too. South Carolina is a 3 seed in NC State's region in Raleigh. So that's
10
SEC teams, yeah. five of them not hosting. And the 5 schools not hosting, yeah, you would expect you can't send them to any of the 5 SEC regionals.
No, you're going to send them to the 5 SEC sites.
And so that would leave as possible destinations for the SEC teams not hosting. That would leave North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Clemson, South Carolina, Clemson, Norman, Oklahoma is the 7 seed, Raleigh, North Carolina, NC State is the 9, Charlottesville, Virginia, Texas is the 10, Florida State, Tallahassee, Florida State's the 11.
It's got to get even tougher after Texas and Oklahoma.
Corvallis, Oregon State's hosting as a 12. Indiana State is a 13. East Carolina as a 14. Oklahoma State as a 15. And Santa Barbara's a 16. So SEC teams in those regionals.
Yeah,
and we'll see.
They're going to be all over the place as usual. And yeah, we'll keep you updated again. Right now, Vandy leading Florida 2-0 in the third single elimination game today.
We talking to JC tomorrow?
Yeah. Jason Caldwell should be in the studio tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Again, our thanks to Andy Burcham, Jake Crane, and all of our listeners today. We are out of time here on the Tuesday Drive, though. We will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.